राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन बल्लव गिरिवर धारी। गोपी जन बल्लव गिरिवर धारी। जासुर नंदन व्रज जन रंजन। जासुर नंदन व्रज जन रंजन। जमुना तीर वनचारी। जमुना तीर वनचारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। जय गौरानी चाय जय गौरानी चाय जय गौरानी चाय जय गौरानी चाय। जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 प्रभुपाद। राधा माधव जू की जय प्रभुपाद की। जय ओम विष्णु पर परमहंस परिप्रचाकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत श्री श्रीमान ही शिवाय ग्रेस वय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। इस्कॉन प्रतिष्ठ आचार्य जगत गुरु श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोट वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नमाचार्य हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम सि गो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गरथा शिवा शरि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। नवदीप सी मायपुर धाम की जय। गंगमय की जय। जमुनमय की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी महारानी की जय। श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। जय निताय गो प्रेमानंदी श्याम बेता भक्त वृंद की जय। ओ ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज। ओ ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज। ओ ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज। ओ ग्लोरी टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंगा निताय गो प्रेमानंदी हरि हरि बोल। So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 19, Text 33. The Lord begs charity from Bali Maharaj. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri B. I'll just do the whole thing first. Then? We chant word for word or the whole sloka first? Huh? Word for word. Okay, Shri B. Krame imal lokan vishwa taya kramishyati sarvasvam vaishnavi vaishnave datva mudha vartishyase katam chibi krame imal lokam Vishwakaya kramishyate Savashvam Vishnavi Tattva Mudhavartya Shikatam Tribikamerimalokam Vishwakaya kramishyate Sarvasham Vishnavi Tattva Mudhavati Shasikatam Shribhikameri Malokam Vishwakaya Kramishyate Sarvasvan Vishnabhidatva Mudhavati Shasikatam. Shribhikameri malokam Vishwakaya kramishyate Savasvam Vishnave tatva Mutpavadishase katam Shribhikameri malokam Vishwakaya kramishyate Sarvasvam Vishnave Tattva Mudhavarti Shasi Yalokam Vishvadayam Kamishyate Sarvasvam Vishnave Tattva Mudhavarti Shasi Karam Shribhikameri Malokam Mahabhishvati Sarvesham Vishnavetam Mudhavishvati Katam Shibikamiri Malokam Mahabhishvati Sarvasham Vishnavitatva Shri Bhikame Malokam Vishvakaya Kamishati Sarvasham Vishnavitatva Mudarvati Shri Katam Shri Bikramiri Malokam Vishvakaya Kramishati Sarvesham Vishnavitatva Muravati Shashikatam Three B, three Kramai, by steps. Imam, all these, Lokan, three planetary systems, Vishvakaya, becoming the universal form, Kramishyati, gradually he will expand, Sarvasham, everything, Vaishnavi, unto Lord Vishnu, Dattva, after giving charity, Mudha, O you rascal, Vaitishyase, you will execute your means of livelihood. Katam, how? Translation in purple by His Divine Grace, by Charanarvind Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. You have promised to give him 3 steps of land in charity, but when you give it, he will occupy the 3 worlds. You are a rascal. You do not know what a great mistake you made. After giving everything to Lord Vishnu, you will have no means of livelihood. How then shall you live? Please repeat. You have promised to give him 3 steps of land in charity, but when you give it, he will occupy the 3 worlds. You are a rascal. You do not know what a great mistake you have made. After giving everything to Lord Vishnu, you will have no means of livelihood. How then shall you live? Purple, by His Divine Grace, Abhaycharanandavinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Bali Maharaj might argue that he had promised only 3 steps of land. But Shukacharya, being very learned Brahmana, immediately understood that this was a plan of Hari, who had falsely appeared to them as a Brahmacharya. The word Mudha, Vatishasi Katam, reveal that Shukracharya was a Brahmin of the priestly caste. Such priestly Brahmins are mostly interested in receiving remuneration from their disciples. Therefore, when Shukracharya saw that Bali Maharaj had risked all of his possessions, he understood that this would cause havoc, not only to the king, but also to the family of Shukracharya, who was dependent on Bali Maharaj's mercy. This is the difference between a Vaishnav and a smarter Brahmin. A smarter Brahmana is always interested in material profit, whereas a Vaishnav is interested in only in satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. From the statements of Shukracharya, it appears that he was in all respects a smarter Brahmana. interested only in personal gain. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Jananjanan Shalakayo Thakshuram Militanjina Tasmaya Shri Guruna Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Karatha Shiva Shari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. So he is pointing out the Shukracharya. He's a smarter Brahman. And Prabhupada's defined the difference between the smarter Brahman and a devotee, Vaishnava. Is that the smarter Brahman, he's interested in profit. He does his pujas, he does whatever he does, but he's expecting some result, some fruit from his work. He's motivated by some profit. But the Vaishnavas, they also do worship, but they're not expecting anything back from the Lord, except more service. So the Shukracharya is here, he's concerned about his maintenance and livelihood, that Vishnu is going to take everything away from you. How are you going to live? How will I live? I'm the king's priest. I'm the pundit. So if you have no money, if everything's taken away, how will I live? I'm depending on you also. So better you reverse your promise to give 3 steps of land. He will take everything. So it's also Shukracharya, he's a priest, he's a saintly person, he's able to detect the plan of the Lord here. Although he's the priest of the demons and he associates with the demons, he has that foresight. He's a priest, he's a Brahmin, he understands Brahman. Because the activities and pastimes of the Lord, they're all eternal. So they're all manifested, past, present and future. They're present here, the Lord's pastimes are present. So Shukracharya, he could pick up on this vibration was there, that because it's truth, it's eternal, that Lord Vishnu is performing his pastimes, he's going to take 3 steps and It's in the Akash, the vibration is there. So he could pick up on that. That's how saintly he was. He was in contact with Brahman. He was a self-realized guru, smarter guru. He understood Brahman. So therefore he could realize or feel the dictation of the happening, of the atmosphere, the transcendental arrangement that was going on. So he could pick up on it, same as many other saintly persons would be able to do also. Although he was a demon because he was practicing Brahminical culture, he had actually transcended the modes of material nature. But still, somehow or another, he was interested in fruitive work and being the priest of the demons. So we see even someone exalted on the platform of eternality who's realizing that platform, but still he is interested in serving the demons, not becoming a pure devotee of the Lord. So here Prabhupada says from the statement of Shukracharya, it appears he was in all respects a smart Brahmin, interested only in personal gain. So this is the difference. The smarter Brahman wants personal gain, and Lord Mamadadev is going to interfere with that, with his desire to get profit. The demigods were ruling the universe, so he was in a very good position because he was the pundit for the king, the emperor. So so in other words, he's the smarter Brahman. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, they're simply attached to the rituals of the Vedas, Veda, Veda, Prata, they're simply attached to the flowery language of the Vedas. They think this is all in all. So although they have lots of knowledge, they're thinking that the all these different procedures in the Vedas, there is a banyan tree, the leaves are the Vedas, the knowers of Vedas, is all. So they know very well, but their ambition is actually to go, after leaving these bodies, performing the brahminical duties, is to go back to the heavenly planets or wherever. They say there's nothing more than this. So these are the smarter brahmanas. There's nothing more than this. Doing your duty so you can go back to Pitri Loka to see your family relatives, or to Deva Loka to enjoy on the heavenly planets. What is the desire? But this is what the Vedas are giving. This is the process of the Vedas. So the smarta Brahman is nothing more than this. Look, it says in our scriptures, it says like this, it says like this, we can do like this. So, you see, Veda Vyas, he was chastised by Narad Muni for this very point. You made a big mistake by presenting all this, emphasizing on the Karmakanda aspect of the Vedas, which is aimed at enjoyment. Because that's the purpose of the world, it's enjoyment. That's why we're here, we have a desire to imitate Krishna. So we can't imitate Krishna in the spiritual world. There's no scope there because Krishna is there. So Krishna kindly creates a material world for us because we cannot create our own world. And he creates all the facilities and he creates the understanding how we should live in the world and be happy, because that's what you want, to be happy without Krishna. So all these rules are there. So they will worship the devatas or the pitris. So they will get a good next birth in the higher planetary systems, wherever they want to go. So they're simply attracted by the flowery language of the Vedas. And what they're doing, they're simply rotating in the cycle of birth and death. They're not interested in solving the real problem of life and going back to Godhead. Nobody came here to go back to Godhead. We're already in Godhead. We came here to see what facilities were there for enjoyment. Nobody comes here to go back to Godhead. Everybody has maximum people having enjoying tendency. So the whole of the Vedic system is arranged to satisfy that propensity to be the enjoyer, the controller and then the enjoyer. But somehow or another, by following this process, they'll become purified. Gopal Bhatta Goswami, in his Satkriya Saratipika introduction, he's written this book was written for the Grihastha disciples who have to perform samskaras. If you're living at home, you're obligated to perform the different samskaras. So those Vaishnava Grihasthas who will perform different samskaras, but they won't get entangled in the reactions of like for worshipping the forefathers or worshipping the demigods. Because Krishna says those who worship the devas, they go to the planet. Those who worship the pitchers, they go to Pitchaloka. Those who worship the Buddhas, they go to the place of the Buddhas. So here, going up and down, up and down. Just like you want to you want to go to Pitriloka to serve your forefathers, which you're supposed to do. It's one of the rules. If you're in the material world, you are indebted. You're an indebtor. So they worship the forefathers according to the rules, and then when they leave their body, they go to Pitriloka, planet of the ancestors. Then they serve the ancestors there. They go there. They have it's a seven heavenly planets, so it's nice, very nice. And then their sons, who are in this world, they do the puja for their fathers. They still continue doing pitri puja for their father, and that's what keep the fathers and the forefathers up in Pitriloka, is the worship performed by the descendants in this material world. So the son is doing the Pitri Puja, worshipping the forefathers. And then when he dies, he goes to Pitri Loka, and then his descendants, his grandchildren, they take his picture off the wall and they put the picture of their father on the wall, and they do their little puja, whatever they do, Pitri Puja. So like they said during the puja, the moment you stop worshipping your ancestor here, at that moment he comes back, he falls down again and takes a birth. And he takes birth again in exactly the same family, the same clan. You have your Agarwals in cultured places. You have your Agarwalas, your Goenkas, the family lineage, Patels. But you go up there and you see them all there. And when you finish up there, you come back down, you get born exactly in the same community again. So you're with them again. So like this strong attachment to the family ancestors. The Chinese, I think they worship the family ancestors. That's the worship they do. But this is what you, as a result, you go up there again, you come back again. It's not solving the real problem of birth and death, which is a real problem. But they're not really interested in doing that anyway. They like to go up to the heavenly planets and come back and go. So Gopal Bhatta points out in his Kshatriya Saradipika. So the Vaishnavas, they can also, he said they worship their father, forefathers with love when they're here. And when their forefathers die, they offer some Radha Madha Mahaprasad. But they don't worship all the Pitras and all the Devatas. They cut that bit out because that's all Karmakanda. And it's not necessary for them to actually to worship. According to the rules, they have to worship. Gopal Bhatta Goswami points out two things, Rini and Kinkara. Rini means the debtor. Debtor. When you are born, you have six debts to pay back. First one to your mother and father who gave you the body. Then to the rishis who give you knowledge in your line. Then to the sages who give you then to the devatas who give you heat, light, everything you want supplied by different devatas. So you're a debtor. From birth you have six debts to pay back. Now the purpose of life according to the Smartavidhi is to pay back these debts. Otherwise it's sinful. If you don't pay it back, you're sinful. So if you're going to live here, you have to pay off your debts. You have to worship the forefathers, preachers, etc. Then you become free from that sinful, from your sinful activity. But Gopal Bhatta Goswami says, what is the result of that? You're born a debtor. You have to pay the debt off. You worship the demigods, but as a result of that, Krishna says, one who worships the devatas, he goes to Devaloka. So you're paying off your debt, you're doing your duty, but as a result of it, when you leave your body, you go back to Devaloka because you've been worshipping the devas, you've been worshipping the pitras. So you go back there. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami has written Sarakriya Saratipika also. Sanatana Goswami has written Hari Bhakti Vilas for the same thing. For the grihasthas who are obligated to perform certain samskaras in family life. So he cuts out all the worship of the devatas and pitras like that. Then he puts other personalities instead. Like you're supposed to worship the Navagrahas, the nine planets, the demigods of nine planets. So he says you substitute these for the Navayugendras, because they're bhaktas, they're devotees. So like that, he substitutes these different devatas for Vaishnavas, because these Vaishnavas, they're eternal personalities. And the demigods are all subject to this process of birth and death. And just like he says, there is or Ganesh, before you do any puja, you should worship Ganesh. His function is to remove the obstacles. So if you worship Ganesh, he's just an ordinary jiva. There's hundreds of Ganeshis coming in one day at Brahma. So why do we want to worship some temporary personality? But he says, no, you have to worship Ganesh, because he'll remove the obstacles for your puja. That's his function. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gopal Bhatta also, he said that there is a personality, a Vaikuntha personality. His name is Vikshakshena. Thank you. His name is Vikshakshena. He's four arms, Vishnumurti, like Vishnumurti. Everyone has four arms in Vaikuntha. He has four arms. He's the commander in chief of Vishnu's army. But he's got an elephant head. So Gopal Bhatta says, when you're doing your puja, you're doing it in it's a smarter situation. You're the grandson. He has to take over the duties of the father, so he has to worship. But he's become a new bhakta. And he's heard from the temple commander, you shouldn't worship any demigods, you shouldn't worship any preachers, you should. So he said, you know, I'm at home and I got to do the worship, and all my parents are looking at me and the older people, and they will worship these demigods and Ganesh for generation after generation after generation. So you have to do the same thing. So he says that in such a situation, so as not to upset the whole family tradition, when they do their Ganesh puja before they do it, they think they're meditating on Vishakshin. They're not meditating on the elephant god, son of Lord Shiva, that temporary figure. They're meditating on Vikshakshina, who has an elephant head. So then the family members think, oh no, very good, he's keeping up the tradition, he's worshipping Ganesh, very good. But actually in his mind he's fixed on worshipping the Vishnumurti, Vikshakshina. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami says, Nowhere in any scripture of the world, all the Puranas, the Itihasas, all the scriptures, Vedic scriptures of the world, nowhere in any of those scriptures does it say that one should do Pitri Puja, that one should do Deva Puja, that one should do Tarpon, that one should do Shraddha. It's not recommended in any of those scriptures of the world for a person who has been initiated into a Vaishnava Sampradaya and received the name of Vishnu and chanting the holy names of the Lord, Hari. For him, these injunctions do not apply. He is absolutely free. There's no injunction that he should perform these other rites, smarter rites. So of course this was a big controversial thing in during Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time. He was dealing with all these different upper sampradayas and these Shmata Brahmanas who believed in seminal succession rather than the descending process of acquiring knowledge. They get from the seminal guru family. You have to get initiated in, you have to be part of the family, you have to be initiated by the otherwise you're not bona fide. But of course our parampara is the descending process. And we're accepting from the great acharyas this process as being far superior than the seminal process. He may be the guru, you have to say he's the guru, but that guru coming in seminal line, you're obligated to take he's the guru. But he does all kinds of things. He worships Ganesh, or he worships Durga. Someone was telling me of that example. He was talking about the traditions and the smarter Brahmanas, and he said that anyway, he said, I come to see my guru. He was here in Vrindavan, but now he's leaving. He's going to Calcutta to observe the Durga Puja, the very big Durga Puja. But the Bengalis love that. Big Durga Puja in Calcutta, in Bengal. So he's the guru, the guru and his wife, they gone for their holiday to celebrate the Durga Puja in Bengal. So they don't mind worshipping smarter Brahmanas, they worship everyone. So, if you're a Vaishnava and your guru says, I'm going to worship, do Devi Puja in Calcutta, worship Durga Puja, what would you be thinking? So like that, but because that's sufficient, because you're initiated into a seminal line, that's it. That's your link back to Godhead. It doesn't matter about so much about the qualification of the guru even. But as long as you get initiated in that family line, then that's bona fide. So anyway, this was their preaching. They're not initiated in Brahmanal seminal line, therefore they're not bona fide. And they had two main contentions. One was that even if they are initiated according to Pancharachiki Bidhi, that's allowed, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, or even outside of that outcast, Malecha, Yavana, Malechas. Anyway, if any of these take initiation by the process of Pancharachiki Diksha, they become purified. Om Upavitra Pavitra, by remembering Vishnu, by worshipping Vishnu, by becoming connection with Vishnu through initiation. You become purified within and without. There's the injunction of the Vedas. It doesn't mean you have to be born in a Brahmana family. And Prabhupada said that actually they're proud of that. You know, we're born in Brahmana family, so you have to be born in a Brahmana family also if you want to understand the Vedic systems and everything like that. So you have to take birth in a Brahmana family. I've taken birth in a Brahmana family. Why? Because of my previous activities. It's my karma to take birth in a Brahmana family because my karma says I was, you know, associating with the Brahmana in my previous life, and therefore I'm qualified now as a Brahmana. That's quite logical. Due to your karma, you got a body, you know. if you're born in a Brahmana family, obviously you're born in a Brahman family before, or at least you were performing Brahmanical activities. So this is an open fact, you know, we're born in Brahmana families, so we are Brahmanas. So the Vaishnavas, their opposition is, no, the very fact that you've taken birth in a Brahmana family is evidence of your impurity. Because a Brahmana, by birth, he has to go through all these purificatory processes, all the different samskaras, to be gradually purified from birth up to Upanayam, getting the sacred thread. He has to do all these different samskaras, all these purificatory acts. That means he's not pure. He's taken birth in a Brahmana family so he can finish off and become pure, but his birth as a Brahmana is not pure. That's why all the samskaras are there. Then he'll become purified. So they say it's not a sign of purity, it's a sign of impurity that you're born in a Brahmana family. But still you've got an opportunity to rise up and become a pure Brahman. So these are some of their claims. And even if a person is out of the Vedic system, but he's initiated according to Pancharatriki system, which allows it out people outside of the jurisdiction of Varnashram to become initiated. Even if they are initiated in Pancharatriki Diksha, with the Pancharatriki Diksha, they cannot worship Shalagram Shila. Only the Brahmanas can worship Shalagram Shila. Again, this is not correct. This is a concoction that anybody who is initiated in the Brahmana, in a bona fide Vaishnava family, coming in ascending process, our knowledge is coming, descending process from the bona fide parampara. That person is qualified to become a guru, he's qualified to make disciples all over the world. Another claim they have is that, and anyway, even if he's by Pancharatriki Diksha, he's performing all these activities of a Brahman, but even if you accept that, okay, he's bona fide by following all these, and he's qualified himself by following all these Brahminical samskaras, etc. But he cannot become an acharya. He cannot become, at least they got one thing, and he cannot become an acharya. But again, Rupa Goswami has refuted that in so many places, and now our different acharyas, and Narottam Das Thakur, and these are great acharyas, Srinivas Acharya. They were initiating Brahmanas. They weren't from Brahmana families. Rasikananda was initiated by Shamananda, who wasn't born in a Brahmana family, but he was initiating Rasikananda, who was born in a pure Brahmana family. So this has been going on a long time, this argument. So you cannot become an acharya somehow or another. So, in other words, the smarter Brahmins were claiming monopolization on the Brahminical culture scene. And it was very, very tightly held for many, many generations, actually. but it's become a lot misused. But they had a very, very strong hold. Nobody could actually defeat them. And after Gopal Bhatta Goswami wrote these sakrayat, because showing how grihastha devotees, they can function by following all the injunctions and not become contaminated and develop their affection, love for Krishna without worshipping devatas or deviating from anything else. Yeah, so he presented Sakriya Saradipika for this purpose, and the Hari Bhakti Vilasas also by Sanatan Goswami. What was it saying? For the forgot what I was going to say. Anyway. Anyway, he points out, so the grihasthas, householders, they can follow these injunctions without becoming implicated. And then they should not worship. Those who are initiated in the bona fide sampradaya with Krishna's mantras, they're not obligated to perform all these shraddha ceremonies, etc., like that. Tapon. But he said if they do, somehow or another, if they do, even by forgetfulness or something, if they do worship devatas, pitras, etc., then they make nam aparad and savor aparad. That's the Vaishnavas. If they actually do those things, they become implicated in savor aparad and nam aparad. To think that the holy name is, what's the nam aparad? is equal to the Kamakanda stipulations. You think that the holy name is another Kamakanda process for purifying yourself. Then that becomes Namaparad. You do the Shraddha ceremony of your forefathers, but it's a Kamakanda activity. So when you're doing that, it means you're making a Namaparad and savior aparad, because you stop your service, you stop your devotional service to do a Kamakanda activity. So therefore, savior aparad and nam aparad, you're put in, you've got initiation into the holy name, you're chanting the mantra, and now you're interested in doing other Kamakanda stuff. The holy name is superior to all the different activities of Kamakanda. So you make nam aparad and savor aparad if they do. Of course, he said the devotees they're not callous. They serve their parents with love and devotion while they're alive, and then afterwards they give maharprasad. Radha Madhava maharprasad and Shingadev maharprasad. So there's no implication for them. That the best thing they can do, they offer Ganga Jal and Chanamrita to their forefathers and Mahaprasad. It's the best thing they can do. So, there was a big debate one time in Midinipur with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur over the smarter and the Vaishnava. What is the difference between smarter Brahmana and Vaishnava? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was preaching very heavily, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they were preaching very heavily against these smarter brahmanas who were monopolizing the spiritual circle, you can say. They were all the mahantas, the big temple owners, and they had Ram Charan Das Babaji. He had made this new mantra, Nitai Go Radhe Sham Bhaja Hare Krishna Hare Japa Hare Krishna Hare Ram Nitai Go Rangi Radhe Sham Japa Hare Krishna. Nice little music flowing. But they're saying that you shouldn't chant the names of the Lord loudly. Japa Hare Krishna Japa Nitai Go Radhe Sham Japa Hare. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta challenged him. What's this mantra? It's a bogus mantra. There's many faults in this mantra. The Rasavas is there. You're chanting Nitai Goram Radhisham. How can Nitai Goram Radhisham stand together? Nityananda, you cannot put next to Radha Krishna. Balaram can't be with Radha and Krishna. It's a Rasavas. So this mantra is a Rasavas. Also, he had introduced this Shaki Besh, where they give him a name like Lolita Shaki, and give him you put on a sari and you identify yourself as Lolita Shaki or someone Shaki Besh. You get a sari. You wear a sari, and you know you got a big growth on your face and beard, and you've got a sari on, it looks really weird, you know. But anyway, unbona fide sampradaya. But they're very, very popular, and the mantra was very popular, and they were gaining so much ground in Bengal, Orissa, and Bhaktisiddhanta and Bhaktivinoda, they were preaching so heavy that they were. Everyone was up in arms, you know. It got so intense that Bhaktivinoda Thakur said to Bhaktisiddhanta, you better leave Puri. He was in Puri as well. And go to Mayapur and do your bhajya some bhajan there. After that he left, but when they were, they had this meeting and they invited Bhaktivinoda Thakur to come. We're going to discuss, because you're saying that we are smarter brahmanas and it's not as powerful as a Vaishnava. It's above. You're saying a Vaishnava is above a brahmana. How it can be so? So they had. We're going to have a big debate in Medinipur. It's north from here. Medinipur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was invited. Bhaktivinoda Thakur didn't go on the plea of having rheumatism. He said, I cannot go. Because if he goes there, his guru is going to be there. His guru at that time was the Bipin Bihari Gosha. He was coming from the smarter, the Nityananda Bamsas. They had become smarter Brahmins. So he was going to be there. It means Bhaktivinoda Thakur was going to speak about smarter Brahman and then Vaishnava is above the smarter Brahman. And his guru is going to be there. And what's he going to say? See the impudence of this personality. His own guru is there and he's criticizing his being a smarter Brahman. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it was a very delicate situation. So he couldn't go to that meeting. So he said, there must be someone who can face all these nonsense people and establish pure Vaishnavism. Must be someone in the Vaishnav world who can do that and illuminate the teachings of the Vaishnavas. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he saw that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his anxiety. So Bhaktisiddhanta, he wrote some notes. And he showed Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said, maybe if I go to that meeting, I can present some. So he read the notes and Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, Saraswati, truly Saraswati, yes. This is the Vaishnav. Gonna illumine the Vaishnava world with these. Yes, you do it. So then he compiled a little book. Then they had that big meeting there. And there was hundreds and thousands of people were there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we went with a small party, and they had some very prominent Vaishnavas there from Radharaman Temple and other places. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was greeted as the acharya to and another Vrindavan Vaishnava was there as a chairman. And anyway, it began, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati began, and then he first started off by chanting the glories of Brahman, being born in a Brahmana family, and the glories of being a Brahmana. And he was going on, and he was quoting all these different shastras glorifying. But they never even heard of these things. They said, wow, this is great. It's a great, great meeting we're having here. We never even heard of all this stuff. So then after that, he said, now I'll tell you the glories of the Vaishnavas. So then he started to extol the Vaishnavas, the Gaudiya, and the Vaishnavas. Showing how superior the Vaishnavas were to the caste-born Brahmin. So then they was asking so many challenges and questions, but Bhaktisiddhanta, he was like a lion, and he cut everyone down, and nobody could defeat him. And he smashed all of their different conceptions. So the meeting went on for about 3 days. And then the last meeting, and then Bhaktisiddhanta, so he was the last speaker. So then he just let everything out, and nobody could say anything. They were all completely speechless. They had no more arguments, so everybody, it was a great success. Everybody, all the Vaishnavas were cheering and so happy, and all the smartas were very unhappy. They'd been defeated, everything defeated. And there was a big mob, there were thousands of people. They come, they said, we want to touch the feet of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We want to take his dust from his lotus feet. He would always say, Dasoshmi, I am your servant. He would never let anyone touch his feet. Anybody paid obeisances, he would pay obeisances back. I am your servant. So there are thousands of people, so they had his room. They locked his room, and all the people were banging on the door. And the police said, "You know, you better open up the door. There's a riot going on practically." He said, "It's the Vaishnavas. It's not the smartas. The Vaishnavas, they want to take the dust of your feet. They want your Charanamrita." He said, "No, I vowed I'd never give that." They said, with the police, we have to do something because we can't control the crowd. They're all going crazy. So then the police came in, and then they grabbed Bhaktisiddhanta. And they got one big nukur. You know the big things they serve Mahaprasadam, big pots. They filled it up with water, and they picked Bhaktisiddhanta, and they dunked him in the water. So that was the Charanamrita. Then they put more water. Then they took that outside, so all the thousands of people taking the Charanamrita. It was a big success. So even today, they're defeated, but still they don't like the Vaishnavas so well, the smarter Brahmanas. Still goes on today. And Nabadweep, when Bhaktisiddhanta was there, he took the prikram, Nabadeep Dham prikram. They tried to kill him. They threw stones on the party and they tried to kill him. One of his disciples changed his cloth, his saffron cloth, to white cloth, and then only Bhaktisiddhanta was able to escape. And Prabhupada said, my Guru Maharaj, his life was threatened many times. He said, the police came to him, and they said that someone has paid us money. Something is going to happen to this Bhaktisiddhanta. And we have been paid money to
keep our eyes closed. We won't say anything. We do this. We are policemen, but we do it. We accept bribes. And we turn our eyes the other way. So they said, so if something's going to happen, you look the other way. It means they was going to kill him. They were planning to kill him. They gave him the money here. Bribe money. But then that policeman came to see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he said, this is the plan. I'm warning you, be very careful. They have made this program. Usually we do this. We're policemen. We usually accept these bribes. But you are such a saintly person. I cannot go through with this. So you please be very careful. So they were paying the police off so they would be able to kill him. But they never did. There's also significance. Bamanadev is asking for 3 steps of land. And Shukracharya is saying, don't give it. He'll take everything if you give 3 steps of land. It seems like coincidental that they, our Mayapur project here took us a long time to get the land, but eventually we got three acres of land. 3 is there. We got 3 acres of land. And we were getting more. Then we were making a petition. We wanted to get more land. We wanted this and that. So we went to all of our friends, local people and everything who knew us, and we were signing petition signatures. It was a big thing in Bengal. You make a petition, you get as many signatures as you can do your rah, rah, rah. We got all these signatures. So we were collecting all these signatures so we could get even more land, something like that. And the Muslims were, we had Muslims on our side and Muslims on the other side also. So they were collecting from the Muslim, the people who know a little bit. So they were favorable. So we had all these signatures on the paper. So they brought them back to here, to the Lotus Building. That was the only building at the time. Anyway, the Lotus Building, you know, the steps going up the side of the Lotus. They were coming with the signatures, and then there was another man there from the other party. He's a disguised, he's a Muslim. He was on the top of the steps there of the Lotus Building. So when they come up with the signatures, and this guy, he suddenly, he snatched the signatures, threw it down the stairs. There's another one downstairs. He caught it like that. He ran off with it, and they went to one Gaudiya Math temple. I'm not mentioning any names of it's water under the bridge. But like that, they collected, and they were saying, this ISKCON, they'll move in. They got three acres of land, but you'll see, they'll take over everything. They'll do the same thing. In Ekachakra also, when we have a bit of land there, then we was going to get some right next to the birth site of Nityananda Prabhu. And one life member, he had land there he was going to give to ISKCON. We were preaching to him. And with Nitai Chammaraj, he was preaching. So they went there to get the land and everything like that in Ekachakra. And the smarter Brahmanas are there. That's the same group, the smarter group. And they kidnapped a life member. So when the devotees went there, they said, where is such and such? And he's going to give the land, he's going to sign the land. And they actually kidnapped him. Then they said, that ISKCON, you see what they did in Mayapur? They took 3 acres of land, and now they're occupying so much land, they're going to drive everyone out, and we'll lose all our land. Similar incidents here. So, anyway, at least we don't have that battle. Bhaktisiddhanta and Bhaktivinoda Thakur had that battle. Prabhupada said, at least we don't have that battle now due to the great preaching of the Bhaktisiddhanta and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Jai Sri Prabhupada ki jai. Shambhade Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Tai Gopi Maram Di.